I am BK Kathane, acting as a senior lecturer at Institute of Fire and Safety Engineering Management, CMOU Study Center 44228 at Nagpur. Today I am delivering the lecture on Fire Service Management and Act included in Diploma in Fire and Safety Engineering Management. This is a second book in Diploma program in the Safety Engineering Management. Subject of this book is classified under the basic fundamentals of the organization, beware the which intend to teach the student about the lecture of the fire service organizations. That is, administration, management, principles and qualities of the personnel, along with the need of the training to the personnel, and also to teach the student about the legal rules and regulations coming under the different acts related with fire services. Procedure for the investigation adopted during the different disasters. There are 8 units in this book. That is the first unit, that is discipline, leadership, fire service organization, fire administration, fire management, acts and rules related to the fire service training program, and investigation of fire and arson. Now we are going to start the first topic, this unit, that is discipline. Discipline is not instinct which comes that naturally to the body of the man. It has to be produced and maintained under the routine conditions in order that it may operate naturally in the time of the danger and stresses. The first step towards the teaching the discipline is that is a squad drill. Squad drill is not solely taught, as means whereby men are marched from one place to another. It has a very definite value in teaching unquestioning and instant obedience. Discipline cannot be standardized. Different types of disciplines are required to evolve for the different types of the services. Now we will see what is the meaning of the discipline. Discipline means how it is defined. Discipline in any organized emergency services means as well as regulated behavior by every member of the fire services in their efforts to achieve the well-set goal. In general, definition of discipline would be cooperation of the individual in the interest of the teamwork. Now, we will see the next topic, that is the importance of the discipline. What is the importance of discipline in the fire services? The importance of discipline in fire services, which has to deal the emergency situation involving the risk to the life and where the body of men have to work and act together under the command of the leader, is acknowledged all over the world. Every member of the fire service, therefore, has to be well disciplined and must act without hesitation on order of their superiors. The leader must himself be a good disciplinarian and perfectly disciplined if he should expect that the staff under him should work as a closely knit team, obey the order implicitly and loyal to him. Now, next, that is, you must have understood the importance of discipline in the fire services. Next topic we are going to start, that is, it is an art. Leadership is a popular means of the special control from the point of view on psychology. In disciplined service or organization along the discipline, leadership is equally, that is, essential, means that is very important. While discipline cannot take place of the leadership, it or is certainly complementary to the others. Discipline implies the exercise of the authority or power vested in oneself over the people. Leadership implies the exercise of one's influence on the people to create an authority of the power in oneself, with the free will and accord of the people, and use it the people with the people to achieve the certain common aims and objects which the people have come to the like and desire to secure. Therefore, the leadership can be termed as that guilty in a person which enables him to exercise his influence on others in such a manner as to inculcate in them and the desire to act on their own as he would wish, and thus allow him as their executor towards the achieving well set goal. Napoleon once said, "Best leader is one who makes the least number of the mistakes." This is the other word, means that able leadership is one that commits the least wrong, and there is always key to the success. The good leader is one who by virtue, by his personality, knowledge and training is able to provide the function necessary at given time to enable the group to achieve its task and to hold it together as a working team. A leader also needs to exemplify, must be built in the whole structure of the organization. Every member of the organization has to be converted to become a leader in his own sphere. Although there is a positive contribution to understanding the leadership, it should be remembered that persons who are the leader in one situation may not be necessarily be a leader in other situations. Leader is specific to the particular situation, determined by the physical setting, nature of the task. Discipline is the thing that makes for the general comfort, welfare, efficiency and happiness. It is something desirable and something oppressive, and thus help to build up the leadership. Discipline enables men to act together under the leader, training them to habit and immediate natural obedience. Discipline is a moral courage. Therefore, discipline is complementary to the leadership. Discipline builds the moral, which is essential for the leadership is survival. Now, we are going to see the general rules and principles of the discipline in the fire services. If someone wants, or if one expects that his order should be obeyed by one, must strictly obey the order given to him. That principle, there are three principles about this. If you cannot obey, you cannot obey. Never tell a man to do anything that you are not prepared to do yourself. Treat others as you would like to be treated yourself. This principle should apply as nearly as one's possibility would be allowed. It is necessary for the good disciplinarian to be absolutely straight, that is, he must be straight forward and most impartial. He must have the clean tongue, and his order must be based on some principles. He must possess a sense of humor and look after the welfare and comforts of his people, and also considerate of their feelings. He must not lose his temper with his subordinate and must not be afraid of them. He must not nag at men and give the irregular punishments. He must like his men, but must not hobnob or fraternize with them. But it has got very worst meaning, that is, nowadays you must have seen that so many innocent incidents take the places due to the that maintenance of this distance between among mimes, that is, the superiors and subordinates, mother, father and how we maintain the distance between the mother and father, sisters, your friends, and your colleagues, and others, neighbors, and others are there. That distance is to be maintained. Otherwise, that accident has to take place. So, this maintaining discipline, discipline means that distance between two people, that is very necessary for survival of the people. Otherwise, some incident may take place definitely. He must not lose his temper with subordinate and must not operate of them. He must not nag at men and give the irregular punishment. He must like his men, but must not be hobnot and give the irregular punishment. He must like his men, but must not hobnot fraternize with them. He must not borrow money from the subordinate and must not reprimand and man and bearing of his subordinate or members, so the public as also women. He must not show off to his superiors and also must not walk about if he were the superior being or God. Now we see the praise. Means that it should be taken that for granted that subordinate knew that superiors are pleased with their work. Superiors should have the pleasure of telling them. So, men are apt to get disheartened if they are slave away, deliver the goods and never received a word of appreciation. Congratulations on the job well done will give them Philips, which will be reflected in their next task. Now you will see that support. Everyone requires the support in the services. In well-disciplined forces, officers should feel confident that their seniors will support them. But this can be expected only if mistakes committed are very few and far between, and superiors will, without much difficulty, be able to get him out of the trouble. While being just to everyone concerned, if an officer repeats such mistakes, he may require disciplinary action or some kind of the punishment. When trouble seems to be brewing, it will be better one should consult his seniors. Officers themselves sometimes get into the untenable positions where they cannot support it. And then it takes all the tact and ingenuity of their seniors to arrive at just and wise conclusion. Loyalty. Loyalty is a quality to the well-being or good discipline of the force. Everyone must be loyal to his seniors, his department, and his country. Question a junior as to action or view of his senior is quite excusable. It determines the whole fabric of the discipline, engenders the suspicions, and disturb the good feeling that should exist in the force. One must wholeheartedly support the policy of the senior, even though he may not agree with it. He must also be loyal to his subordinates. When subordinates are criticized wrongfully, one should stick up for them manfully and tactfully, even though opinion may clash with those of superiors. Junior should not be made to carry the blame, which senior should rightfully shoulder. One must remember that all belong to the one service and has to support and cooperate with the others. Lack of the cooperation will lessen the efficiency of the fire services as a whole. Now see the methods of endorsement and maintaining of the discipline. Discipline in the uniform services enforced and managed by the conducting regularly some drills and parades in routine manner, which keep the members of the service physically fit and mentally alert. Besides, there are the rules and regulations, manual, etc., for proper functioning of the organization and ensuring the management and enforcement of discipline. These are the manuals and orders, that is, standing orders, office orders, verbal orders, department manual, punishment and rewards, and moral. Now, we are going to touch next unit, that is leadership. A good leadership is always essential for the efficiency of the management, and leadership as a term lead. It donates that quality in a person which enables him to exercise his influence on others in such a manner as to inculcate in them the desire to act on their own as he would wish, and thus follow him as their executor towards achieving the common goal or objective. Now, we'll see there are some tools of the leader through which he executes the process which finally terminates in achieving the common goal. That is, persuasion by the reasoning, exhortation, publicity, affectionate devotion. To make the best use of these tools, it is desirable to have long-range planning, proper allotment of the duties to the subordinates, proper clarification of the duties, delegation of powers, inspiration for coordination of the tasks within the department and with other departments. Now, we'll see the qualities of the leader. How he should have the, what are the qualities he should have. Once the confidence upon the leader, once created, has to be maintained at very high pitch throughout. The leader is therefore said to stand as an example by himself by cultivating some qualities, that is, sobriety, courage, cleanliness, promptitude, loyalty, civility, straightforwardness, punctuality, judiciousness, and sympathy to the reasonable grievances of his subordinates. That is aspect. Now, next topic, that is the aspect of the welfare and discipline in connection with the leadership. An important phase of a program looking towards the establishment of good working condition is development of the facilities for the safeguarding and promoting the welfare of the employees. The condition may be summed up in some other order, that is, clean and healthy, comfortable living condition. Provision for the recreational facilities. The formation of the club which arranges the athletic social amenities that will the course of time help to bring the closer special relations between the members and help to enhance the unity of the action. That is, medical facilities for the personnel, including their families, medical benefit when injured while on duty, and annual medical checkup may also carried out if considered necessary. Group insurance for the personnel, way and means of the substituting the grievances, and suggestion for the improvement of working conditions. Incentive for the efficiency, such as awards, long services, educational facilities for the children of the employee, whenever it constitutes a problem of formation and formation of the cooperative benefit societies. Leave benefits, weekly. Then allowances that may be reasonably considered necessary under the existing condition of the services. Facilities for any special duty pay, allowances if admissible. Suitable condition of work, hours, duty or shift, etc. Salaries and overtime as well as the compensation. Now, this topic is over. Now we are going to start next topic, that is a fire service organization. So with that, functions of the after learning this unit, student will be able to understand the function of the fire service organization and organization chart, categories of the organization, wings of fire service organization, chain of command, executives and their responsibilities. Now we will see that fire service organization. Fire service in any country is considered to be the fourth line of defense. The other three wing, their wing of the defense forces. The importance of the service has not only been established during the time of war, but also the normal peace time, and it grows in the proportion to increase in area of the habitation, development and industries, and increase of the population. Now we'll see the what are the functions of the fire services. The main important duty of the fire service is to save the life and property of the people from the fire and minimize its effect. Every member of the fire service should have his first concern from the day he joins the service, and state government or local authority should also provide the service with necessary equipment, appliances and trained staff for these purposes. In addition to this, the member of the service may be required to effect a rescue from the sewers, wells, lifts, from the machineries, as well as sometimes from the river, that is drowning cases. In short, in difficult or trying cases, the fire service people are generally called to assist the police and local authority by virtue of their training and ability to handle, operate and use special equipment situated to carry out such rescues. Apart from this, according to the order in force in any particular area, the members of the service may also be required to do the following. Work for the pumping out the water from waterlogged areas, tanks or ditches. Standby duties, exhibition or fairs. Pandal erected temporarily for celebrating any puja or otherwise any functions where there will be a large congregation of the men. Repairing fire hoses for the private parties. Preparing for the destroying the film, explosives and such other hazardous goods when necessary. Assisting the police and rescuing the people from riot affected areas. But main duty of the fire brigade, to repeat, is to rescue the life and extinguish the fire with minimum loss or damage both to the life and property of the people. Now we'll see the characteristics of the organization. Main characteristics of an organization constitute the following sum, that is, it is a group of individuals which may be large or small. Group in the organization work under the direction of the executive. It is a machine or mechanism of the management. It has some directing authority or center of power which controls the concerned effort of the group. The division of labor, power and responsibility of the deliberately planned. It refers to structure of the duties and responsibilities. It is established for the accomplishment of the common objectives. It is a functional concept. Now we will see that efficient organizations will have the chain of command, that is in ascending. Then these are the some commands and responsibilities which would be assigned in each rank in descending order. That is sub-fire officer to be in charge of one fire unit, in charge of fire station, or second in command to the station fire officer or equivalent staff duties. Station officer to be in charge of 2 to 3 fire units or in charge of at least one fire station or equivalent staff duties. Third, that is assistant divisional fire officer to be in charge of 4 to 6 fire units, in charge of 2 to 3 fire stations, or second in command to the divisional fire officer or the equivalent staff duties. Divisional fire officer, he will be in charge of the division comprising of 2 to 8 fire stations depending on the amount of risk concerned in the division or equivalent staff duties, such as a chief protection officer or officer IC communication or chief engineer workshop. Deputy chief or deputy director or regional fire officer, he will be in command at least 2 divisions or second in command to the director of the service. The chief or director fire service, he will be overall command of the service with 2 or more regions. We'll see the executive and his responsibilities. The chief fire officer or director fire service will be in overall command of the fire service with the following functions. He is responsible to the government to in all matters of the fire service and is efficient functioning. To see that department is fully manned. To see that plans and operations are carefully prepared and strictly carried out. To see that human materials in the organizations are suitable to the objective of the department. To see that there is a competent and vigorous management of the department. To coordinate operation within the department and with other department. To make the careful selection of the staff and to define their duties clearly. To see that discipline is maintained at all levels. To make the decision which are clear, distinct, reasonable, far-sighted, precise and unambiguous. To impose the penalties for the mistakes, blunders and violation of the discipline. To see that individuals' interests do not interfere with the interest of the department of the public. To pay the special attention to the unity of the command at various levels, to see that everything is subjected to proper control and the entire administration is running smoothly and systematic basis, absolutely in accordance with the fire rules. Apart from these administrative duties, fire chief often has to, whenever his presence is solicited by any his deputies or other subordinates officers, he often has to act as the head of the fire protection department as well as levy and collect act taxes in accordance with the legislation of the fire prevention, if already in the existence to be used for purpose of the fire extinction whenever he is vested with this statutory power to act as such. In a nutshell, his duties and responsibilities are comparable to those of the leader of the organization. Now, this topic is over. Now, we'll see next topic, that is administration. In administration, duty of the fire service is not only to save the life and property of the people from the and to minimize the effect of his to effect rescue from the sewers, well, lift from the machinery and such other like. In a short, in any difficulty, trying cases and fire services is called to assist people by virtue of their training and ability. to handle the operate and use of this system. So, we'll see that operational jurisdiction and responsibility of the officers. That is, in chain of command, we are already seen that one, that in ascending order, descending order, from sub-fire officer to chief officer, we are seen their duties. But here, see, we will see that their operational jurisdiction and responsibility, what are their responsible jurisdiction also. To be overall command in the service when they are two or more regions. Division of fire officer to be in charge of the 2 or 8 station or 4 to 6 pumping unit or second command divisional officer or equivalent staff duties. Assistant divisional fire officer to be in charge of 2 or 3 station or 4 to 6 pumping unit or second in command to divisional fire officer, divisional officer, equivalent to staff duties. Station officer to be in charge of 2 to 3 pumping unit and at least 1 fire station or equivalent to staff duties. Sub officer to be in charge of 1 pump of fire station or to be second in command to the station officer. Leading fireman shall be the leader of the fire crew and responsible for the execution of the order of his officer and for the work of the individual member of the crew. Drivers, operators, and firemen and others, they shall form a member of the fire crew and perform the duties assigned to them by leading firemen or such other officers as may be command. Now, we'll see the station officers. And officer in charge of the station in overall responsible for maintaining the discipline and efficiency of his station, and therefore occasionally he may have to make up an unpleasant task of inflicting the punishment on his men for the various offenses. Procedure for the dealing with the such cases and punishment awarded may vary, but for the possible they should be within the framework of the discipline, code to behavior and the in the fire service. Offenses. We'll see for the next topic, that is offenses. What are the types of offenses created in the fire services? Member of the fire service is deemed to have the committed an offense against the discipline. If commits one or more breaches of discipline, sub officer is empowered only to inflict the punishment on the minor offenses only. For this severe misconduct, it will be his duty to make the detailed report to his station officer, district officer, as case may be, and inflict the punishment as ordered. After detailed inquiry and after having heard the delinquent official fully and giving him reasonable opportunity to defend the offenses which can be dealt with by and punishment awarded, that is minor offenses, improperly dressed on parade, drilling in solemnly manner or parade, failing to report any defect in appliances and equipment, creating disturbance in the fire station or premises, delaying return from the duties outside the station premises, negligent in keeping the telephone line engaged, using indecent and abusive language, filing in report to office to in charge any unusual incident. Then punishment can be awarded by the sub officer, that is extra sentry duty, extra parade, to reprimand or caution severely. Major offenses. Any actions involved moral, that is a moral turpitude, misappropriation of the cash and equipment, willful negligence resulting in damage to the appliances equipment, gross insubordination and disobedience to the senior officers, and commitment of any crime of the nature of any considerable offense constitute major offense immediately. Next topic we are going to start, that is fire management. Fire service in any country's efficient management is vital for the optimum utilization of men and machines and money, and it is dynamic and active and not static and passive. An efficient management is not only the highly beneficial to the public but also advantageous to the employees. It gives a job satisfaction to the employees, and also good management always reduces the chances of the inefficiency. And efficiency management, which is so vital in the fire service organization, may therefore be studied under the heads characteristics of the management, functions of the management and principle of the management. We see the characteristics of the management. It is a process, it is a social process, it is art as well as science, it is a distinct entity, it is a profession, it is a systematic authority, it is needed at all levels, achievement of predetermined objectives, group efforts. Next, we are going to switch on the function of the management, how it works. Function of management constitute the planning, organizing, staffing, directing, coordinating and controlling. Now next, that is a criteria for delegation of power. Principle of the management. Principle of management engages following, that is a division of work, authority of responsibility, discipline, unity of command, unity of direction, subordination of individual interest to the general interest, remuneration of the personnel, centralization, order, equality, scholar principles, stability of the tenure of personnel, initiative, spirit of the D corps. Decision making. An element of the good management is the decision making, which embodies the chief characteristics. It is a process of making the choice from the alternative sources of action. The choice implies the freedom to choose from among the alternative without externally imposed correction. Choosing from alternative implies the uncertainty about the final result of each possible course of action. The pivotal element in the decision process is commitment made. It involves all of the action that must take the place before the final choice can be made. It is a basically human process and kind of intellectual activity. It is a focal point at which plan, policies and objectives are transmitted into the concrete choice. It aims at bringing about the resolution of the conflicts. It may negative and may just be a decision not to decide. It is always purposive, and decision is made to facilitate the attainment of some well-defined objectives. It involves a time dimension and time lag. Next, we are going to see that one criteria for the delegation of powers. Criteria delegation of power, as well as we have seen about the means that in the energy, time and energy, promptitude, efficiency of work, quite easily can be arrived at understanding that it depends upon the nature of the organization, nature of the service or services in the meant for. Bulk of the organization existing working procedure, number of department in embraces, and volume of risk involved with these services. Next topic, where I going to switch on act and rules related to the fire services. After learning that, student will be able to understand the necessity of the rules and regulation to be followed for the fire service or fire prevention and other emergencies. Different acts related with different state rules for the enforcement, their own importance with respect to the fire ground administration and operational procedure. It is also important for the personal safety during the disastrous situation and other fire emergencies. Acts should be known for the safe handling, storage, transportation of material. First, we will see that this model fire service bill. With a view to enforcing the uniformity in the fire service within the country, the government of India has circulated a bill known as a model bill, with the request to all the state of government that those state having no fire service act should pass such act based on model bill, and those state already having fire service act should amend or modify the existing act on the lines of this model bill. The power of the members. Section 5 of the act confirms certain powers on the members of the fire services in case of fire. Such removal of any person from the fire ground, break open or pull down any building or premises for the firefighting purposes, and in general take necessary step for the prevention of the life and property. Section 5 also empowers the fire services to close temporarily any street meant for obtaining the greater pressure flow in the fire zone, and assume the police powers when necessary. Section 6 makes the obligatory for all the police officers to assist the fire services in execution of his duty and when called for. All fire services officers, however, exempted from the liability for any damages caused due to any act done by him in bona fide intention of the proper execution of his duties under Section 7. Now, power of entry. This is the power of entry, that is Section 37A, empowers an officer not below the rank of station officers to enter any premises for the certain purposes under the certain conditions. This section is important from the fire prevention point of view. Section 23A requires a permission to be obtained from the director for the erection of the temporary structure for the public assembly for any purposes. Such permission is granted on the fulfillment of the certain conditions. Section 24 to 33 deals with the penalty clauses of this. Section 26 relates to penalty for the unlicensed warehouses or workshop. Section 28 for the breach of condition under which the license has been granted. Section 33A relates to punishment for the erecting the temporary structure without permission, and Section 33B for the willful obstructing an officer exercising power of entry under the Section 37A. All fires under the penalty clauses be realized as a public demand. Bombay Municipal Corporation Act 3 of 1888. Section 359 clause requires the commissioner of the corporation to provide the fire brigade consisting of the proper number of the officers and men, and furnish with the necessary fire engines, fire escape hoses, accompaniment tools, and also means of intercommunications as may be necessary for the efficient discharge of their duties. Section 360 empowers the commissioner to make the regulation for the training, discipline and such other matters relating to an efficient maintenance and working of the brigade. Power of the Chief Fire Officer. Section 361 of the Act laid down the powers of the Chief Officer in case of fire. The powers, among the other things, include the power of entry into any premises, power to break open through or pull down any premises necessary for the purpose of the effectively firefighting. Section 362 of Act requires all police and other municipal officers to assist the fire brigade in case of fire, to close down any street, remove any obstructing persons from the area, or such actions as may be requested by the fire chief or any other officer on his behalf. Now, we'll see the Petroleum Act 1934. Well, see the meaning of the petroleum. Meaning of the petroleum, any liquid, hydrocarbon or mixture of hydrocarbons and any inflammable mixture that may be in any form, that is liquid, viscous or solid, containing any liquid hydrocarbon. Petroleum class A, petroleum that is classified in three classes, that is class A, B and C. Class A petroleum means the petroleum having the flash point below the 23 degrees centigrade. Petroleum class B means petroleum having the flash point of 23 degree centigrade and above, but below the 65 degree centigrade. Petroleum class C means the petroleum having the flash point of 65 degree centigrade and above, but below the 93 degree centigrade. Now, this is transportation of petroleum. Transport by the water as per the rule 33 of the Petroleum Act 1976. Rule 44, loading and unloading of the bulk petroleum. Then, transport on land by the vehicle as per the rule 62. That a petroleum class A quantity not exceeding the 100 liters and petroleum of any other classes otherwise than in bulk are subject to the provisions. Petroleum of any class transported by the defense forces of the Union is not required any licenses. Rule 63, tank vehicles. Rule 64, tank capacity. Rule 66, that is trailer. Rule 71, electrical installations. Rule 72, means of extinguishing the fire to be carried. Fire. As per the Rule 78, precaution against static charges. Rule 79, precaution against electrical hazard and hazards of running engines. Rule 80, precaution against movement of the vehicle during the loading or unloading. 84, prevention of the fire and smoking. Rule 103, that is electrical installations, that is hazardous area. Rule 104, classification of hazardous area. Rule 106, fixed electric apertures. Rule 117, that is a storage of petroleum, precaution against fire. Rule 119, cleanliness of installation, service station and storage shed. Rule 120, that is drainage. Rule 121, exclusion of the unauthorized person. Rule 122, petroleum only to be stored. Rule 123, making the capacity of the tank. Rule 124, construction of tank. Rule 125, protection against corrosion. Rule 127, earthing of the tank. Rule 173, fire control. Section 27 of the Petroleum Act 1934 notices of accident with petroleum. Now, next topic we are going to switch on, that is the Explosive Act 1884. Explosive Rules 1940. Explosive Rules 1940 control the storage of and handling of the explosive substance in the country. The authority in respect of all matter concerning the explosives with in chief inspectors of explosive. Very stringent rules have been framed either for the storage, for the handling of explosives of any kind in any form. Main grouping of explosives of all the categories have been made the under this, that is gunpowder, nitrate mixture, nitrate compound, calorate compound, fulminate, ammunition and firework. There are some general precautions also. Apart from the specific precautions for the each grouping, for the explosive mentioned above, there are certain general precautions measures which have been laid down by the explosive rules. More the importance of them are as follows. Calcium carbide. Next topic is that is calcium carbide. General provisions. That is carbide to be packed in prescribed receptacles. Restriction on delivery on dispatch. Precautions against contact with water. Disposal of carbide if wet, children and intoxicated persons. Prohibition of smoking, fires and lights. Training. Next topic is training. The sound training imparts not only way of doing the, but also the way of thinking, so that trained men concentrate with the situation wisely and quickly. As such, today training programs are considered as a connected investment. Training plays an important role in the human resources development. It is necessary, useful and productive for all categories of worker and supervisory staff. Training is important as gives the various benefits to employees and workers, employers. Basic purpose of the training is to develop the skill and efficiency. Every organization has to introduce systematic training program for the employees. Trained persons are the like valuable asset of an organization. They are responsible for the progress and stability of our organization. Expenditure on the training is profitable investment. Training is important. It constitutes a vital part of the management. Control the training is the integral part of the organizational learning process. Learning process through to which the enterprise develops its capacity to the understand its own behavior. Benefits of the training to the employees. Confidence in the mind of workers, employees. Acquisition of new skills. Promotions. Higher incentives. Increased salary, safety. Then benefit training to the employer. Quick learning, higher output procedures, standardization of procedures, less supervision, economical operations, higher moral, preparation of future managers, better management. Objective and advantage of training. Training is an act of increasing the knowledge and skill of the employee for doing the particular job and constitute an important aspect in well-organized fire services. The objective and advantage of training are to help each individual to reach his maximum potential. Enable the individual to develop the skill and method of the moving the shaft that will enable him to his job effectively. The builder's employees confidence in the organization, develop the loyalty, raises morale, increases team behavior. It broadens knowledge of the employee, all the faces of the organizational functions. It makes the employee self-reliant and independent and the capacity in him to take the discipline and judgment. Prepares the employee for the lateral transfer, upgrading or promotion within the organization. It reduces the learning time. It results in higher productivity, lower cost and lower the employee's turnover. It makes possible for the supervisor to spend less time in correcting the mistakes and to spend to improve the time in the planning. It increases the remain to the employees in the personal award of more pay, recognition and other benefits which is employees want from the job. It increases the quality and quantity of output by the improving skill. The last topic, that is the investigation of fire. Fire also responsible does not end with the extinguishing fire only. The very important thing is to be performed after the extinction. It is a submit report about the fire, giving the all particulars and also the probable causes of fire. Such reports are great importance for two-folded reason. Firstly, they present the expert opinion about the causes of law. In the case of the legal complication arising, such as over an insurance claim, the cause stated in the reports is almost always accepted by the court. Secondly, these reports are also useful for the preparing the static and similar purposes. Purpose of the investigation. There are two folded purposes. Whether fire has been caused due to a certain negligence or fire management. Secondly, whether it has been caused deliberately by the somebody, cases of arson. Reason for thorough investigation. Only that enormous loss of property, financial disaster, physical injury to the many innocent persons each year. It is a duty of every citizen, especially member of the police and fire services, to preserve inquiry into the cause of every fire and with the three objective views. If the fire is due to some dangerous industrial process or operation, to devise safety measures or precautions to prevent the recurrences. If due to the faulty storage, carelessness or negligence, or to remedy to fault and take the necessary action against a careless person. If the fire has been maliciously started and detect the offenders and prevent him from the repeating his vicious crime. Scientific assistance. It must be emphasized that no matter how severe the fire damage may be, the scientific examination can often provide valuable assistance in the investigation of fire. Difficulties in investigating of fire. Police are not usually the first person to examine the scene. The second, the building collapse or property is damaged by the fires, making the examination extremely difficult. The majority of the fire's evidences are clues as how the fire originated or completely destroyed or disturbed by the fire or by firefighting authorities. During the process of the substituting the extinguishing the fire. In case of arson, the motives which invite the fire riser commit the offences is sometimes obscure. It is difficult to find the scientific convincing evidences to the instituting the proceeding apart from any statement of the admission the fire riser may make when interviewed. Next is that some more information is to be collected from the person or witnesses. When and where the fire was first seen, what was the size of the fire, when it was discovered, when the smoke or flame seen, any unusual object smell noticed, where any doors or window broken, discolored, or had any portion building collapse? Was fire spreading any direction? If so, which direction? Were there any explosion proceeding after the fire? Was anyone leaving the building, especially suspicious circumstances? Was any attempt to be made fight the fire? So brief detail. Was the material moved from fire area? It may be kept in mind that witnesses may require some time to collect their thoughts, particularly after this serious disaster in fire. after last day, it may be perhaps necessary to collect some more information on the more information. That is a first where to see that is more important essential points are that is point of ignition, time of ignition, cause of ignition. Then that case of person, meaning of person, we have to see the meaning of person. Then circumstances surrounding the suspicion. There are the indications of malic or other motives, persons responsible for, etc. Ascertaining the point of origin is most important, as unless this point has been determined correctly, the further investigation to ascertain the cause of the outbreak is not possible. On arrival of the falling means will be it will help. First person to saw the fire, first fire officer present, part of the building involved, particular window or similar opening from the which flames were the first noticed. It must be remembered that seeing the smoke coming out from the window or balcony opening, etc., is never the conclusive proof about the part of the building being involved. Lowest part of the building involved in the fire. In this case, it must be also be remembered that though normally the fire travels upward under the suitable circumstances, it can travel downwards also. Therefore, point of origin may not be always at lowest point part of the building. Part of the building having the sign, mark or severe burning, particularly roof structure. For the ordinary fire, origin may be visually near the place or severe burning. Through it may not always be the case. Then, indication to help that whether the fire travels from the inside the room to outside or vice versa. Indication help the in this respect are that is condition of wall plaster, condition of door frames, blistering of the paints on the doors and windows, discoloration of the glass panes, burning of the wooden board or used in partition. Time of ignition. Time of ignition also is equally important for determining the cause of fire, particularly the certain type of the fire. The time of ignition definite value which will be tell the investigating officer as to whether the fire burnt in ordinary way or burnt at faster rate. Necessity ascertaining time of ignition. To assist the investigation officer, the information is important and necessary for the four major reasons. To assist the investigating officer to form the opinion of the contact of fire in case of the large fire, to help the arriving at a satisfactory conclusion as to whether there has been only one seat of fire or more than one seat of fire, which would suggest arson. To check the action of any person who would habitually or casually present near or passing the premises at the time of the ignition. To check the statement made by the suspect as to his whereabouts at the time of the ignition. There are some that is known causes. Known means that other condition also to be considered, features to be considered. Weather condition, wind, rain, summer, then type of the premises. The old fashioned building with well ventilation shaft or apertures which act as a fire fuse. The type of industry carried on at the premises. Are any of the material used highly inflammable or do they give the right to the inflammable product? The material stored or quantity, condition and inflammability. The possibility that material may have smoldered for the long period before the bursting into the flame. This may happen to warehouses which are not inspected daily. Lastly, we can say there are 8 units in this book. Topic covered in this book are greatly essential for the student of diploma in the fire safety engineering management to conduct a different industrial fire safety training programs, to identify the needs of discipline and disciplinary action. To develop the leadership skills. To select a personnel to be assigned for the different tasks. To motivate and assist in different emergencies. To develop the communication skill and listening work with other departments. Thank you.